all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning, March 21st, 2024. A beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media, podcast. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you. Got your shovel ready? Because apparently 2 to 5 inches is going to be the norm across a wide swath of Wisconsin, starting tonight, mostly tomorrow. And then we get another wallop, apparently maybe late Sunday, it sounds like. We'll get the full details from meteorologist Brittany Merlot 1 hour from now. Also an hour from now, we continue with the Ride into Spring text contest, where you text a keyword into us, a different word each day. That makes you eligible for an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells and puts you in the running for some really nice grand prizes as well. So a lot happening an hour from now. In the meantime, for the things going on this hour, if you want to reach out to us, our phone number is 855-75-CIVIC, or you can email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or if you're watching us on social media someplace, put a comment in any of the Facebook sections, and we'll see that and maybe pass that along. This morning in this hour, we're going to talk about how the congressional attempt to impeach President Joe Biden really blew up in Republicans' faces yesterday when a former associate to Rudy Giuliani testified about how Giuliani, other members of the Trump campaign, and Wisconsin's own Senator Ron Johnson were all willing purveyors of disinformation that frequently originated with Russia's efforts to manipulate American voters. We'll hear a little bit of yesterday's testimony. We have our weekly Women Win Wisconsin segment with Kristen Lyerly in our second hour, focusing on another woman making a difference in her hometown and campaigning to have even more impact in this year's elections. This time around, we'll talk to Margaret Arney from Wauwatosa. And we'll also decide whether and what kind of brackets we want to fill out today. Not necessarily basketball. As the tournament gets started, Luke Mathers, who is a big Top Chef fan, will join us near the end of the program, and we'll do a little recap of episode 1 of season 21 of Top Chef Wisconsin. They came to the Badger State over the past few months here and recorded several episodes. I'd never watched Top Chef before, so watched that last night, and we'll have a bit to talk about on Thursday mornings for a little while here. All right, well, the snow isn't here yet, but the cold temperatures sure are as we kind of slide back into winter here in these first few days of spring. It's 22 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls right now. Hayward reporting 13, Park Falls 11, Wausau 16, Green Bay is at 16 degrees. La Crosse is at 27, Wisconsin Rapids 20, Oshkosh 23, Madison 22 degrees right now, and it's 19 degrees in Waukesha, where we find Greg Bach standing by getting this fine radio program out over the airwaves. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. Greg's always a little bit more tired on Thursday mornings because you have a Wednesday. Is it open mic on Wednesday night that you do?
Yeah, but I leave early now. I leave, we get it going. I leave around 8:30 so I can get home and just walk in the house, give the dog some scritches, say hello to my wife, and then be like, good night, everybody, going to bed now.
Bye-bye. So, in other words, Luke, who is, I mean, just downright giddy about Top Chef, he's going to be my go-to person on this rather than you because of your Wednesday night routine here, right? Or,
I mean,
are you actually going to follow this?
Do you want me to be honest and be kind of a fun killer?
Sure, go for it.
I couldn't care less about Top Chef.
No,
I'm happy look, they're
that's
here.
That's why I'm watching here. Season 21 is when I'm first tuning in. So yes,
they're on
I'm,
season I know, I 21.
Yes, yes.
I'm so happy they're here. I'm happy they're highlighting Wisconsin chefs and restaurants and marketplaces. I love that, but it's never been my jam. But I love that Luke loves it.
Because he's a very capable and handsome man.
Yes.
Controls your destiny. Yes. Yeah. Well, look, if you're going to listen on this show for recaps of Top Chef, and you're looking for recaps of the food and the ingredients and the names that I can't pronounce, this is the wrong show for you. We are just going to be talking about the ways that they highlight Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then a few of the little twists. First twist, right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. I'm watching, you know, the show before that was the season finale from season 20. And I'm looking, I'm going, oh, yeah, that's right. And then they start the new season. No Padma. Padma Lakshmi.
Oh, really?
Does not host this season. They've brought on, her name is Kristen Krill, I think it is. She's a past winner, a Top Chef winner as the host, which is all fine. She did a very capable job. But no Padma.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, well, that's a mark against you already. But so, so many... So many nice beauty shots around Wisconsin. This is going to be a nice little visual feast, a little showcase.
I did watch an interview with their group, like the host and everything. And the gentleman, I don't know his name, he looks like my wife's cousin, said that Madison has the best farmer's market possibly in the world, that one in the Capitol.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And I don't doubt it. I've been there, and how you have to... You have to go, what is it, counterclockwise around Capitol Square,
yep.
You know? And it's not that you would want to go the other way just to be a jerk. I mean, literally, the crowd is such, it will just sweep you up. There is no way that you can swim upstream against all those salmon. It's just not going to work that way. Let me say this much about it, because I think it's something we can all relate to.
Okay.
One of the dishes that they had to cook was... about as basic as it gets, but you know, one of the chefs, one of the judges, and I'll learn their names at some point here, but he said, you know, for this first one, you'd think it's really basic, but you'd be amazed how many people just roast a chicken and get it wrong. So just roast me a chicken, and I want to see if you can do it right. And here are all these very capable chefs, and yet maybe only a couple of them truly got it right. The others were overthinking it, undercooking it, overcooking it. Just a basic roast chicken, not as easy as you might think it is.
That's like when people just say, like, hey, do this thing. You're like, I can do that. And you're like, wait a minute, why did you ask me to do such an easy thing? Is it not easy? I'm going to do it wrong. I don't know how to do this thing. I don't know how to roast a chicken.
It is. And it's so easy to overthink. And it's funny because the one woman who really was stressed mentally is she is a barbecue pit master. And so she knows barbecue inside and out. But another one of their first dishes was a pasta dish. And her eyes just got so big. And she's just like, I haven't cooked pasta in forever. I cook barbecue.
Yeah.
But, you know, it worked out all right for her. But it just kind of reminds you, sometimes you really do get in a groove or in a rut.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're asked to try something new, and you find yourself going, don't know if that's going to work. So
how do I boil water? I don't know how to do that. What are you talking about? I didn't go to Cordon Bleu.
What's the temperature supposed to be exactly? Yeah. So we'll talk more about that with Luke Mathers coming up a little later in the program. You may have seen... I know when we first started doing promos for this week's shows, we noted that Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski would be on today's show, and she called in late yesterday. And remember how bad my voice was 2 weeks ago? That was what I heard on the phone. And Greg, actually, you said she was on with you and Jane yesterday, not sounding tip-top, shall we say.
Yeah, she was. She has squeaky voice, and I told her the same thing I told you, which was get yourself some throat coat tea. That stuff does absolute wonders. And... I was not going to tell the Secretary of State this, but stop talking. If your voice
asking
is
asking Sarah Godlewski or Pat Kreitlow not to talk is a tall order.
If your voice is screwed up, just hand signals and ignore people. That's what you need to do for a few days, and then you'll be fine.
And that hand signaling on the radio, I mean, people dig that. They just go, oh wait, he's oh, what technique that I cannot hear. Right. 6:15 right now. In unpacking the news, Ron Johnson, that's where we're going with this, because the Republican effort to launch some kind of an impeachment inquiry against President Joe Biden, it was never going well. It was the federal version of the Gableman investigation here, where, again, it was just bumbling, stumbling. It was so reminiscent of Inspector Clouseau in the Pink Panther movies. These are people that should not be trusted with a tack hammer at a play set, much less a gavel for a powerful committee. But they tried and they tried to dig up some kind of dirt on Joe Biden by way of Hunter Biden, by way of Ukraine, even though we've all known for years that that whole line of conspiracies was a product of Russian disinformation to try to influence American elections and American policy. And it worked. It worked. It got Trump elected. It got us in a position where the Republican Party that used to stand up to Russia in the Soviet Union prior, the Republican Party now is a wholly owned subsidiary of Putin Incorporated. It's something I'm still just flabbergasted that we're seeing in our lifetimes here. But again, yesterday was supposed to be for this House committee, was supposed to be some kind of a banner day of hearing finally what alleged crimes did President Biden commit that are worthy of impeachment. And bupkis. In fact, it actually worked the other way around. On the other side of the break, we're going to hear from one of the people who was central to the Ukrainian-Russian conspiracy, who worked for Rudy Giuliani, who was Trump's attorney during the 2020 campaign. Well, he has since been convicted of felonies, and he has pledged to tell the truth about everything that he did and everything that he knows. And that's where he name drops Ron Johnson. So stick around for that. That's going to come up in just a bit here. But first at 6:18, just a quick peek at sports here. Just the one thing to tell you about was that the Milwaukee Bucks have gone now two games in a row without Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's got a problem with his left hamstring. And as a result, the Bucks lost in Boston last night, 122-119. The Bucks remain the second place team in the Eastern Conference behind Boston, but Boston now has an 11-game lead over the Bucks. So there's a clear number one and a clear number two at this point in the Eastern Conference, as seen by that score last night. The Bucks come right home. They are hosting the Brooklyn Nets tonight, and you can catch that game on several Civic Media radio stations around Wisconsin. We'll continue unpacking the news in less than 90 seconds wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Intro.
What was that?
It's the intro to the song.
If you say so, boy, that was
Super Tramp.
Back to that.
Super Tramp makes you
take
wait.
The long way home.
Makes you take the long way.
It sure does.
There it is.
I was sure that I had queued that up just prior to the harmonica. Clearly, I did not, and I apologize.
But you know what you did?
What?
You brought emotion.
There we go.
You brought, gravitas.
I brought the sounds of silence.
Is what
I
brought. Exactly.
We'll tell you why we're talking about Supertramp in today's history lesson coming up in under 30 minutes right now. In the daily newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, a Madison bartender hits the road on a quest to find America's best cocktails. And also today, my article on how more is being learned about the extent of Donald Trump's fake electors plot because of actions taken first here in Wisconsin. And we'll have notes about today's World Down Syndrome Day. That's all in today's newsletter. Freshly posted to our website at upnorthnewswi.com is my article that talks about what did and didn't get done by the legislature before they put themselves on a 9-month paid vacation. Also on the website, President Biden's executive order that we told you about here yesterday, directing more resources into researching some women's health issues that have not received the resources that they needed before. And there's been a lot of talk about essentially more equity in, you know, examining certain things that affect women. So learn more about the Biden executive order there. And then on our social media feeds, we re-rack some old video of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss saying last year that Donald Trump is a loser and he shouldn't become the Republican nominee again. And of course, this week, Voss endorsed Trump. You can't make this stuff up. There's also a new episode out this week of the Vibes Only podcast. Brian Derrick and Glenys Mahar talk about Donald Trump's unhinged rally in Ohio, where he said migrants were not people, but animals. He talked about the bloodbath that would come if he didn't win the election. And they discuss what, again, a lot of us cannot believe was not a bigger story by the national media. And that's when your former vice president, Mike Pence, refuses to endorse the person that he served with. They'll also discuss the TikTok House bill and some of the online chatter about a possible ban and a case heard by the Supreme Court with major implications for the government's ability to weigh in on misinformation on social media platforms. So wherever you get your podcasts or over at couriernewsroom.com, check out the Vibes Only podcast. Let's get back to that House committee that is allegedly looking into impeaching President Biden. And I do say allegedly because of one of the clips here where Democrats tried to say, all right, come on, let's do this. So you'll hear that in a second. But first, we're going to talk about Lev Parnas. He was somebody, a convicted businessman, central to the first Donald Trump impeachment trial as a Rudy Giuliani associate working to dig up political dirt on Joe Biden before the 2020 election. Parnas described helping Giuliani peddle the false claims against Biden to conservative media. Parnas, since his conviction, has played a key role in dispelling the House Republicans' main claim of bribery involving the Bidens. And as written up by Lawrence Andrea of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it says that Lev Parnas accused Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson of doing the bidding of Russia in attempts to find evidence of corruption and spread it through the media. And so this first cut is one of a couple of different times when Ron Johnson's name was dropped in connection with the effort to spread Russian disinformation.
Everything was for the ultimate benefit of Donald Trump and thereby Vladimir Putin. Because the team's investigations were centered around Biden and Ukraine, I was designated the point person in every matter they pursued. That is how I know with certainty that these Biden stories are untrue then and are untrue now. Congressman Pete Sessions, then Congressman Devin Nunes, Senator Ron Johnson, and many others understood they were pushing a false narrative. The same goes for John Solomon, Sean Hannity, and media personnel, particularly at Fox News, who used this narrative to manipulate the public ahead of the 2020 elections. Sadly, they are still doing this today as we approach the 2024 elections. We cannot separate this conspiracy from the Russian-Ukraine war because Trump has no intention to keep aiding Ukraine. Without the support of the United States and NATO, millions in Ukraine will suffer and die. If we allow Russia to defeat Ukraine, eventually that suffering will reach American shores. Today, I admit my own wrongdoings. I have been a convicted federal election campaign and fraud crimes and served my sentence. I do not hide that from reality. It is part of my truth. Despite rigorous attempts by those in power to silence me, I will be silenced no longer.
So there's Lev Parnas talking about the role that they would play in getting talking points through Russian sources and then trying to get them spread. And he spoke earlier about how mainstream media was looking at this and saying, there's no proof of this. There's nothing, we can't run with this. But of course, Fox News did and other right-wing outlets did. And then there were certain Republican elected officials who would parrot this stuff, parrot it willingly, enthusiastically, without vetting it. Senator Ron Johnson being one of them. And so Johnson's office, of course, denies this, continues to deny it. But Democrats had heard enough in this committee yesterday and finally said, this is going nowhere. You're just dragging this out to kind of make Americans believe that
both Biden and Trump are equally corrupt, and that's not the case. So let's fish or cut bait on this. Here's Florida Congressman Democrat Jared Moskowitz daring Republicans to just put up or shut up and put a motion to impeach in front of them right now. In fact, listen to this. He's even going to help them in that effort.
I think we should do it today. Let's just call for it. I'll make the motion, Mr. Chairman. I want to help you out. You can second it, right? Like, make the motion to impeach President Biden. Go ahead. It's your turn. You second it. No, nothing. Okay, we got nothing. So I want it with my last...
So there it is. There it is. Democrats on the committee saying, hey, we'll help you. We'll make the motion to impeach Joe Biden. All you got to do is second it and then call the votes. See if you've got the votes. Maybe you've got the votes in committee, but do you have the votes on the floor? Because if there was real evidence there, if there were real high crimes and misdemeanors, you'd have every Republican voting for it. And you still have the majority, granted by only one or two votes. But if all Republicans hold together because you believe the evidence is airtight, well, let's get this train rolling. And all you heard was crickets and a little bit of sarcasm coming from the Republican side. Because again, there's no there there. Now they're continuing their efforts. The Speaker of the committee making noise now that, you know, he's going to demand that President Biden come in and testify. It's the only way they'll get to the bottom of this. The bottom of what? The bottom of what? So this committee will not release articles of impeachment. They will, however, attempt to make criminal referrals where, again, some rogue prosecutor could kind of keep this going the way Ken Starr did with the whole Whitewater matter during the Clinton administration. All right, more about President Trump's remarks and just how dangerous the rhetoric is getting from Joe Zepecki. That's coming up next. You're up north. But then your wife seems to think. Welcome back. It is 6:34 on this Thursday morning. Joe Zepecki joins us, as he does each week, to talk about, most of the time it's things happening in Wisconsin, but we're going to open up the viewfinder a little bit more and talk more about the moment we're in the presidential race. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I wish I was better, but what a week it has been. That if you look too hard or think too much about it, really scary. And you know what? The antidote to that is to talk about it and make sure people know exactly what is going on.
You know, we said exactly the same thing near the end of yesterday's show on Wednesday about, you know, that sometimes it feels redundant talking about the things that Donald Trump puts out there, but the alternative is complacency, and complacency is perhaps the biggest enemy of all in the times that we're in.
Yeah, and listen, I try not to catastrophize and be at 11 all the time. If everything is an emergency, nothing is an emergency. But just in the last week alone, the things that have come out of Mr. Trump's mouth and the things that have happened in the world underscore the fact that the code red should be happening right now. The alarm has to be going off about what a grave danger he would pose to the country if he were reelected. So where should we even start? I mean, should we start just kind of chronologically?
Yeah, sure.
So last Friday, you had what would be on Earth 2.0, what should be headline banner front page news. Mike Pence is not only not endorsing Donald Trump, he will not be voting for him. Because he has seen up close what a danger Donald Trump is. He, of course, was the target, the receiving end of the mob that stormed the Capitol on January 6th. And I give nothing but credit to Mike Pence for taking the courageous stand to say that publicly at a time when many other Republicans are falling in line. Mike Pence, I disagree with him on almost everything, but good for him for having the courage to just say, no, this man has no business being president of the United States. And that, of course, takes us to Saturday, where this rally that former President Trump did in Ohio for his preferred Senate candidate, the most MAGA Republican in that Senate primary in Ohio, there's been a lot of discussion about the word bloodbath. I could give a rip about the word bloodbath. He doesn't, Trump doesn't string sentences together in a way that you can really understand what he means. It was in the midst of a conversation about the auto industry. Okay, fine, whatever. And the most concerning part of that rally to me was at the top of it, which is when the voice of God at this event asks attendees at the rally to stand for the horribly unfairly treated January 6th hostages. And the January 6th choir, which for those who do not know or haven't been paying attention, these are among the 500 individuals who have been jailed for their attacks on police officers on January 6th, from prison, have recorded the national anthem. And Donald Trump, at his event, stands up and salutes these convicted felons who are serving jail time, who attacked, bloodied, and beat police officers as they tried to storm the Capitol on January 6th. For anyone to think that they are the patriots here, to think that it is okay for anyone in a position of public trust to salute people who have been found guilty of violent crimes is astonishing and galling. And for all of the talk that Republicans engage in when it comes to being tough on crime, I'm calling malarkey. You can't have it both ways. And so that just gets us to Saturday before he ratchets up again and within the last week has called for the January 6th committee members and Cassidy Hutchinson, a key witness, to be prosecuted. For what crime? He doesn't say. He knows there's no crime here. He is threatening to prosecute and jail people who disagree with him politically. That is not little d democratic. That does not respect the rule of law. It is a threat to abuse power if he is ever given that power again. And so when time after time, Donald Trump is telling us what he's going to do and showing us who he is, we ought to believe him. There is no off-ramp here. Nikki Haley is not going to be the Republican nominee. It's going to be Donald Trump, and people need to start taking that very seriously and understanding just how scary that would be.
I want to go off in a different direction just for a second, because you noted that they don't really have a reason to prosecute, you know, the members of the January 6th committee. But what does that remind you of? It should remind you of the Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate who took it upon themselves to fire more than 20 appointees from Governor Tony Evers. In some cases, they made a ham-handed attempt to explain why they were doing it. But there were others, Joe, who were let go, and Republicans sat silently. Democratic senator would get up and say, "Why are you rejecting this nomination?" And nobody had the guts to stand up and say why. They were doing it just because they could. That's political persecution, not what Donald Trump is going through, which is called facing justice.
Right. And you know, speaking of like, what is the crime here? We can get to yesterday on Capitol Hill, big hearing of the Oversight Committee into the impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden, where multiple witnesses, including one of the Republican witnesses who had to testify from jail, literally had to zoom in from jail, where Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez asks Tony Bobulinski, the star witness for Republicans, "Did you witness Joe Biden commit a crime?" And he hems and haws. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, sure, I did." What crime? And he cannot name a crime that he witnessed. The absurdity of this is shocking, and we need to remember that it's shocking. We've become inured to so much of this because it's normalized. I kind of hate that word, but like, we can't let the abnormal insanity become normalized. And I know there's some other things that happen in the hearing you want to talk to. I'll let you set that up because, wow, was it a doozy.
It was, because, again, so much testimony was offered by Lev Parnas, who had been here's my old man bell alert, in cahoots with Rudy Giuliani for the things that they were doing to try to, you know, smear Joe Biden during the campaign and then, you know, later to overturn an American election. Well, Lev Parnas was, you know, convicted of felony charges for things that he did. He's now cooperating with authorities. And even though the committee hearing yesterday was, you know, about the impeachment of President Biden, which, you know, of course, is a clown show, it actually, in my mind, almost, it was less about the impeachment of Joe Biden than laying the groundwork for a third impeachment of Donald Trump by the time Lev Parnas got done telling us everything that he knows, including how they found Ron Johnson to be such a useful conduit, to put it politely, for Russian misinformation.
Yeah, I mean, Parnas, as part of his cooperation deal, he has to tell the truth in all of these inquiries and investigations, and that is part of the cooperation or plea agreement, is he has to tell the truth. And what he outlined is Donald Trump directing Rudy Giuliani to work with Russian agents to sow disinformation, to find dirt or manufacture dirt on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, even if there wasn't anything there. And so what he would describe is that they would be handed a memo, and, you know, from some of these Russian agents, and they would turn around and hand it to a gentleman named John Solomon. And 2 hours later, it would be all over Fox News that it was disinformation designed to smear the Bidens, Joe Biden specifically. And they never asked questions. He acknowledges no other like serious news outlets would even touch it. But on Fox, they would. Sean Hannity would take it. And when he is asked later how else these narratives that they were trying to push got pushed, he cited, like nobody asked him specifically like, hey, was Ron Johnson part of the scheme here? He offered it of his own volition and said, you know, other people would pick this up without question, such as Senator Ron Johnson. And it just sort of lays bare once again how Johnson is, among other things, the usefulest fool when it comes to Russian disinformation operations. And this, again, this is so abnormal and should be really scary, because we've also learned in the last week that Russian agents and the Russian government is once again trying to meddle in our elections. And in the last couple of years, the number one issue that they were using, that they were trying to amplify through social media, was the war in Ukraine. That has now switched. All of the intelligence agencies who look at this now see that the number one issue that Russia is pushing misinformation around is the border and immigration, because they believe that redounds to the political benefit of Republicans, who are less likely to supply our ally, Ukraine, with the arms they need to confront Russian aggression. This is, again, it feels like we're living in a Tom Clancy spy novel, and I know it's hard to like go, this can't possibly all be the world we live in. No, it is. And it is happening time and time again, and we need to take it seriously. I do want to talk one more thing about Trump that, again, like there's so much insanity that we can lose track of it.
Right.
In the last week, he has filed in court saying, I can't come up with the almost half a billion dollar bond I need to front to appeal a civil lawsuit that he lost. That fact alone, that 30 financial institutions in the United States will not write a bond for him to the tune of $464 million-ish dollars, belies two things. It sort of tells us two things. Number one, he's not as rich as he wanted to the American people to believe he was. And number two, he is a walking, talking national security risk. Anytime anyone in the federal government is applying for top secret clearance or any kind of clearance for classified information, the biggest red flag for the FBI and their background checks are whether you have a bunch of debts, whether a foreign malign actor could use economic means to bend you to their will. What is in Donald Trump's head in terms of our nation's secrets and military capabilities, what he may be learning from upcoming intelligence briefings that as a presumptive Republican nominee for president he's entitled to, and the fact that he owes half a billion dollars are all part of the same story. He is a risk to national security. That is your safety. It is my safety. It's crazy.
It just comes back to something I said in 2016, and it is as true today as it was back then. And I am not going to apologize to every person listening who may have voted for Donald Trump in 2016 when I say Donald Trump should not have received a single vote in 2016 until he showed his taxes to make sure that he is not deeply in debt to some kind of a foreign entity, a government, a company, whatever. You need to know if Donald Trump owes a lot of money someplace where he could risk our national security. I said that all summer long in 2016. He never released his taxes. He kept saying, oh, I'm going to release them anytime after the audit, after the audit. He never, never did. He never has. God only knows what foreign entity might help him put up this bond. And it is what makes him as much a risk now as he was then, and more so for what he's learned from being president.
You are a man ahead of your time, Pat. Where I will differ with you is I will offer, I'm not mad at anybody who voted for Donald Trump in 2016. People have different political beliefs. They're allowed to have them. They're allowed to consciously go into the ballot box and vote for a middle finger to the establishment. What is harder to forgive, or will be harder to forgive, is folks who in 2024 who understand who this man is now, and we have seen the chaos and division and the violence done in his name and the pardons he is promising to people who assaulted cops, beat them bloody. That's not okay. We know who this guy is. We have to take this seriously, and we have to do it now. You don't have to agree with Joe Biden on everything, but you need to do the right thing for this country like Mike Pence did and like many other Republicans are doing. Not among that group, Robin Voss, which we didn't even have time to get to.
No, because, again, his supporters are whack jobs, but I'm still endorsing him. Oh, well. Joe Specky, we'll get to brackets next week, and it'll be the start of the Brewers season as well. This is one Supertramp song that actually did not make us wait 30 seconds for the song to kick in. So thank you, Greg, for double-checking my work on this.
I'm not double-checking your work. I don't look at it like that.
I mean that in a good way. Okay. Every journalist appreciates a good editor. This is the 74th birthday for founding member of Supertramp, Charles Hodgson. 74 years old, composed and sang the majority of the band's hits, including the logical song Dreamer, Give a Little Bit, Take the Long Way Home, It's Raining Again, Breakfast in America. I mean, they were just everywhere in the late 70s, early 80s. Kristen Lyerly, were they not? Good morning.
I bought this album for my mom when I was like 10, and I put it on layaway at Shopko.
How much was it?
It was 10. So I don't know. I probably put a dollar down on it. It was a process.
And then we're like, someday I'm going to be a doctor and I can buy all the albums.
Remember Layaway? That was so great.
Oh, yeah. I bought my first guitar on Layaway.
We played hooky one day in high school. Me and a friend and their girlfriend. And we just listened to this album top to bottom. It was like, you know, because it was a new album. We wanted to hear it. And we played video games and watched, you know, I don't think it was it was MTV back then. You know, they played music videos, and I was so racked with guilt the entire time. But I can't hear any Supertramp song now without thinking about that. It's like, this is so great. This is so wrong. This is so great. This is so wrong.
And now you look back fondly.
I do.
With a little bit of stress.
Yeah, it's still a little bit of stress. Can't believe I'm doing this. On this day in 1994, Bruce Springsteen won an Oscar for a song that came from a Tom Hanks movie from 1994.
That night I could hear the blood in my veins, just as black and whispering as the rain on the streets of Philadelphia.
This was a dark movie. I mean, just, you know, looking at the early years of the AIDS crisis,
yeah,
and the discrimination and the horrible treatment of people and the despair that people felt. And you don't hear Streets of Philadelphia very much, but it was an Oscar-winning song this day in 1994. Where are we on M&M's? We pro M&M's?
Pro? Who's not?
I don't know. Yeah. In fact, behind you never see it here, but behind me, you see that gumball machine behind me next to the lava lamp?
Yeah.
That's usually filled with M&M's.
Oh, I thought that.
And why is it not full now, Pat?
Yeah, Pat, why is it not full?
Where did all the M&M's go, Pat?
I don't know. Why does Pat's face take up more of the screen than it used to? I don't know. I'm sure there's no connection.
Be nice to yourself.
It was on this day in 1904, the birth of Forrest Mars Sr. You've heard of Mars M&M, the candy company?
Yeah.
Forrest Mars was the creator of M&M's. Born this day in 1904, passed away in 1999. Kristen, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Speaking of skipping school for a day.
Oh boy,
I love Ferris that Bueller. Movie.
Ferris Bueller. If I told you Ferris was 62 today, would you believe me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew
That's so
Broderick,
wild.
62 years old today. This is the 73rd birthday for Russell Tompkins Jr. Again, you don't know the singer, you know the group, the Stylistics, from 1971 to 1974. The Stylistics had 12 consecutive R&B top 10 hits like this one.
This song is for you, filled with gratitude and love. God bless you.
Guy had some range.
You make me feel.
There was Betcha by Golly Wow, Break Up to Make Up, You Are Everything, all from the Stylistics and Russell Tompkins, who turns 73 today.
Smooth.
This is the anniversary of the late Eddie Money, was born this day 75 years ago.
Baby, hold on to me.
I believe this was the first chart hit that he had, the first single that hit the charts, for Eddie Money, who was born Joseph Mahoney in Brooklyn, son of a police officer.
My name is Edward Money.
Edward Money, yes. Uncle Pennybags. It's the anniversary.
Ding, ding.
The anniversary of the birth of former Wisconsin Governor Patrick Lucey. Was born this day in 1918. He passed away 10 years ago. On this day in 1964, the Beatles landed their second number one hit in She Loves You. But let's go back to the number one song this day in 1953. This was the number one song by Patti Page.
That doggy in the window.
I think I actually saw Kristen roll her eyes. I don't think I've ever seen her roll her eyes at someone before.
Arf, arf.
You know what this song just proves? Do you know what this song proves? How boring 1953 was. This was the top.
And so innocent. So innocent.
Boy, did music change in the years to follow.
God, did music suck in 1953.
When Elvis and all the rest showed up a couple of years later, you can understand why they all went,
went from how much is that doggy to hound dog.
Hound dog, way better.
Oh, good. I like that transition.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yes. The number one song this day in 1987. You can bring that down. The number one song
can
this
I burn
day
it?
In... yes. The number one song this day in 1987 was Club Nouveau's cover of Bill Withers' Lean on Me. We'll hear that a little later on in our next hour. And this is the birthday of Twitter. Not calling it X. Twitter was started this day in 2006. Today is International Day of Forests. It's World Poetry Day, World Down Syndrome Day. And again, there's an article in today's Up North News Daily newsletter about it. It's Common Courtesy Day. So take that, you filthy animals. It's Big Bang Day, the universal event, not the TV show. It's Education Freedom Day, Credit Card Reduction Day, National Flower Day, National Fragrance Day, National French Bread Day. I don't know. And National Rosie the Riveter Day. So a lot to celebrate on this March 21st. We're celebrating women across Wisconsin in our next hour. Kristen, tell us who we got.
Yeah, we've got Not her twin sister.
Not her twin sister.
Not Dr. Tully, but Madeline.
Arnie.
Arnie. Yeah. I cannot get it straight in my head. You tell me, Pat.
Write it down.
I know.
Margaret Arnie will be joining us as part of Kristen's Women Win Wisconsin segment coming
Margaret Arnie, twin sister of the amazing Dr. Madeline Tully. That is what I'm trying to say.
And on that note, I'm going to start pulling up this terrible song.
Uh-oh. There we go.
I'm sorry.
Perfect way to lead us out of here. More in our next hour, live from Lake Wissota across the Civic.